Piedmont Fellowship Church. We're glad to have you. If you turn to the first page in the bulletin, we will have some announcements. So, the food bake. If you fill up with food, or you can donate in cash. And
We have the books by Pastor, which the two books, Joy in the Journey and Song in the Night, they're $10 each. They're still available, and proceeds benefit the missions for Piedmont.
If you look in the bulletin, our mailing address is there.
And the cooking class, we have a volunteer this time for November 16th at 10 a.m. So please come join for a time of learning, fun, lunch, and fellowship.
Our art class is to be decided. And the third Thursday luncheon is on the 21st. Oh, at 1 p.m. and at the Golden Corral.
And next Sunday, this is an important announcement we have to remember. It is November 3rd. We'll be having Holy Communion, and all are invited to the Lord's table. But time changes to the standard time, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour on Saturday night, or you might find yourself joining an early Spanish service at 10. And today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. It's also Celebration Sunday, so we're going to have lunch after service, and all are invited, and hope everyone will stay to enjoy that.
Thank you for your continued faithful support in the ministry of the church. By prayers, presents, and gifts, service, and witness, God loves a cheerful giver.
And we accept online donations by credit card or bank draft. You can visit the website piedmontumc.com to see about that. Is there any other announcements?
Okay. And now we will do the opening hymn, Because He Lives, 364.
Please stand if you're able.
Heal and forgive. please join me in opening prayer? Lord, we praise you, Lord, that you do live, and that you are the one and only one worthy of praise, of all our praise. So we lift your name high this morning, God, and we welcome you into this place. We know, God, that you're with us at all times, but we believe still, Lord, that you're with us in a special way when we gather together as your local body and as your people to praise you and to worship you, God, and to love you. So, God, we welcome you into this place this morning. I ask, God, that you would minister to the hearts of each person who is here this morning, God. Help them to feel and to know your love for them individually, God, and for us as your church. We love you, God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's now our greeting time. If you will please greet everyone.
Howdy.
We need you here singing every Sunday.
Right, Luke? I told him we needed to hear singing every Sunday. Please stand again and join us in Pastor's Choice, page number 363.
Cuántas arenas y en el mar, el que te la ame al corazón. Thank you, Pastor Nelson, for choosing that. It's great to have the young people presenting our music.
Good morning. It's time for our concerns and blessings this morning. But first, I would like to, I'm very happy that my sister's visiting with me today and having church with us, and my friend Yoshiga, she's coming, she's in service with us today, and I thank you guys for coming, and make sure you stay around for the food. Is there any concerns, blessings, prayer requests that anyone want to call out from the floor?
We'll just call out a blessing. Ivy's football team this past Tuesday won the championship.
Well, right. Let's give them a big hand. Yeah. They've been playing hard. If there's none other, if you turn to your back of your bulletin, we'll see our prayer requests. Oh, and I have one to add. I lost another family member this week. Vendora Nicholson. In Mississippi. She passed away on a Tuesday.
What's the name?
Glendora Nicholson. So we're gonna lift the Stevenson and the Nicholas family up today, and I pray that you would lift them up across the week in the loss of their loved ones. We've lost four relatives since December, in the last 6 months. So pray for the whole family. But our prayer request, we have Jean McBride, and we see that she's with her this morning. And thank you, Jean, for coming out. And Bob Casey, Claudia Sinclair, Jerry Rayner, Harry Basil, Carol Clemens, she's here today. Thank God for her bringing her out today. Grace Hayes, and also myself. And we're going to pray for all our service workers and national leaders and world leaders and all our church leaders, because we're going through a very dark time now. And there's so much going on around the world. And prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have. So let us bow our heads in prayer as we go before the throne of God. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, we come with humble hearts and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we have before we can ask you for anything, Lord, we must give you thanks. We thank you for your touching us with your finger of love, Lord, and waking us up this morning and started us on another day's journey. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house of worship as we gather here one more time to worship you. And Lord, we pray that our worship don't be in vain. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for all that you have done. We come thanking you for food, shelter, clothing, and all the blessings that you have given us. As we look back on our lives, we know that, Lord, you have brought us all the way. We know from the beginning, even when we were stupid and didn't even know you, but Lord, you kept us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Heavenly Father, we come praying this morning for those that are sick. We pray for those that are in the hospital, those that are in the nursing homes. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those that are mourning and grieving this morning. Lord, we know that you got all power in your hand, and only you can comfort us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with the Nicholson family, the Bender family, the Stevenson family, as they lay their loved ones to rest. And Heavenly Father, we also pray for our church leaders. We pray for, because they're at a very difficult time. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all the service workers. We pray for the truck drivers and all of those that work to make our lives more comfortable, Lord. And Lord, we ask you that you would lead us. And Lord, we know that you are in charge. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would touch the hearts of our leaders, Lord, that they may make the right decisions. And Lord, we pray for Harry and Jan. We pray for Grace Hayes, Lord. as she battled this day old cancer, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move it. Touch her with your finger of love, Lord. Let your blood and let your spirit, your Holy Spirit, flow out through her blood and healing as it goes. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those that are on our prayer list today. We pray for Jerry Rayner. We pray for Barbara Casey, Claudia Sinner, Jean McBarr. Lord, we ask you to just touch, Lord. We know though, Lord, that you got more healing in the hem of your garment than all the pharmaceuticals in this world. And Lord, we just lift these people up to you. And we pray that your will be done in each and every one of their lives. And also, Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives. And we just thank you. Lord, we glorify you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Please join us in the Lord's Prayer. Oh. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Now the ushers will come forward and take the offering.
Continue to bless each and every one. And Lord, we pray that this money would be used to uplift your kingdom here on this earth. And Lord, may we go forth and we ask you to ask your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now at this time,
tributes.
At this time, we want to recognize and show the appreciation for our pastor.
Yeah.
You may be seated. I'm sorry. Yeah. You may be seated. So I'm going to ask Pastor Matthew and Sister Matthew to them come forward, please.
Okay.
We're not done yet. And Evangeline, we appreciate all that you do and how you stand by your husband besides She does a lot of work that nobody realizes she do, because she does it in the background. Because you know, the old cliche is, Beside every man, there's a strong woman. So we appreciate what you do, and we just want to give you this blanket. So she can wrap up.
Okay. So, to our pastor's wife, your time and devotion to the needs of your church family are always appreciated. Your loving support, strengthening his word by the positive example you give, your tireless work inspires us all and teaches us how to live. May God bless you for your continued service. I was going to say we covered it after.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I got it. Okay. Hold on. We have another?
Yeah, one more.
Do you get... You work on that. The other part says, pastor's wife, the definition, a woman married to a man who God called to lead the church. Her work and service of supporting her pastor husband often goes unseen. She is faithful, gentle, and dedicated to sharing God's love generously. She is devoted to both her God and her husband. She is a blessing to the church and the community. Pastor's wife. Thank you. Thank you.
And I can verify that because I sit over here to the side and I see them on Sunday morning. When he forgets something, she tells him.
That was Pastor Nelson and your wife. Will you come up, please? Pastor Nelson and Sister Nelson, we cannot pay you for what you do. You do a lot, and I know that you said that one day you passed here and you saw the church. But you thought that you made your mind up, but it was God's Holy Spirit speaking to you because he knows that we need your help. And you have been a great help to this church in helping and maintaining and doing work and doing things that we as an older congregation not able to do. So we appreciate that so much. For that, we can't pay you, but here's a gift.
Something in the car.
Now that you have to share that with her. Right. They can go shopping. She can go shopping. In the kitchen, helping out every Sunday, and she cleans the place. She never complains. She's just a faithful worker, and she keeps our fellowship hall really, really, really clean. And we can't pay you, but we just wanted to show our appreciation for what you do for us.
Thank you.
We appreciate you so much. Also, we have another gift for you. call you up after before the benediction for your convicted remarks.
Thank you.
Did y'all have a gift? They had a gift for y'all too. So y'all gotta come back.
You gotta come back.
You got more gifts.
Okay, sure.
And we had a little, just a little speech, and we'll do it in English and Spanish. That way everybody can understand, okay? So this is my daughter, Sophia. She's going to be reading it in Spanish, and I'll read it in English. I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude for your dedication and service to our community. Oh, thank you. I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude for your dedication and service for our community.
Quiero tomar un momento para expresarle mi más sincero agradecimiento por su dedicación y servicio a nuestra comunidad.
Your spiritual guidance and unwavering support have been a blessing in our lives and the lives of many others.
Su guía espiritual y apoyo incondicional han sido una bendita. Y en su ministerio y en su vida personal, espero seguir aprendiendo y creciendo bajo su guía espiritual.
So we've have made a basket for both of them. So it has a bit of few things in there. Do you want to take it to them? And we also got him something for his office because it's a little bit plain, so we got him a little bit of decor. So we had already hung it up. We had it already there. Surprised I had him come and go and get it really quick. So it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, yeah, we got something for his office. Le agregamos algo también para su oficina. Porque sabemos que está como media vacía. Necesito para que lo juegue. Ya estaba colgado. Pero para que lo miren. Y estas son algunas cosas para usted y para la hermana. Para que miren y decoren ahí también su casa. Okay. La oficina también.
Thank you.
And then, Pastor Matthew, I do have something for you, but I left it in the classroom when I was teaching. So I'll give it to you in the service over there.
Thank you, everybody.
If that's the end of the tribute, we're going to be doing the scripture. It's going to actually be done as a responsive reading. So if you can stand for the responsive reading, it should be on the screen to be able to follow. It's for Psalm 16. And you'll read the words in the bold, and I'll read the ones not in bold. Okay? Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing.
I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Those who do not have other gods suffer more and more. I will not pour out
Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure.
The boundary lines have fallen from me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me.
I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay.
You will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
All right. Sit here. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
It's good to be back. I've got a bigger crowd than usual this morning. I've been here, but I guess people heard how good it was the first 2 times. They had to, no, I know that's not why, but it's great to have the whole church here. I'll just say too. I mean, sitting here and having come here 3 times to the church, man, it's a beautiful thing. one of the things that, you know, that Jesus tells us, and Jesus told his disciples in his word, told his disciples, and he tells us in his word when he came here, is that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then we know from John, from the Revelator, that you know, in God's eternal kingdom, his family, his adopted sons and daughters, will be a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, who all together as one family bow down to our one Father, who made us all together in his image. And so, but we know too, like I said, Jesus said that that kingdom of God, and we look forward to that future kingdom when it's fully inaugurated, I guess you'd say. But that kingdom of God is already at hand. It's kind of an already not here situation. The kingdom is already breaking in. It's been breaking in since the coming of Jesus in incarnate, and thereafter, as he's established and is establishing his kingdom on earth, and he promises that it will be a kingdom made up of people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so when you see a local community of believers like this one, where you can literally see what God promises in the end times playing out in the here and now, you see that already not yet effect of God's kingdom coming together. And so it's a beautiful picture. This is just a beautiful church. It's such a pleasure to be here. So I'm so happy and thankful and humbled to be welcome back here. I'd nowhere I'd rather be this morning. And that was a beautiful presentation with y'all's pastors. It's obvious how much y'all love them and how much they love and take care of y'all. I know Pastor Phillip's working hard for y'all, because he's got to stay on top of me too. Y'all don't know it, but hey, he tries to text me, and I might get back for a few days, and he's polite and comes, hey, I texted you. Did you hear back from me? And so, yeah, he's doing the work, and he's always gracious and always polite, and sometimes I'm bad about that, so I apologize. But like I said, y'all have got great pastors here, and it's just it's a beautiful church, and it's great to be here and to just be able to join you and be a part of it. So I thank you for being here. You know, someone just won their championship football game too. Yeah, there you go. My son played his last football game of the season yesterday. He did not win the championship, but that's all right, because it was a lot of fun. And he's starting on both sides of the ball, so I call him Iron Man, and so I'm a proud dad. But that's all right. Everyone can't win the championship, or then it wouldn't mean so much in the end, really, would it? With all that, again, I've been here before. I've met many of you, most of you before. Not everyone. My name is Austin Robertson. I'm an associate minister with the Association of Independent Methodists. And it's kind of the first reason I came in. I was talking with Pastor Phillip, and he wanted me to come and kind of present a little about AIM here. So I did that first time. And, of course, you know, AIM stands ready if our church needs any kind of help or assistance in any way. Not simply, oh, well, we want to join AIM, but if you do, that's great too. But really, you know, we're there to serve and love everybody, and we want every church to do what's best for that church, because I think what's best for every individual congregation can depend, and what's best for one church may not necessarily be best for another. So that's okay. God's given us, like I said, we have one church. There's a lot of denominations within that church, but amongst those many denominations and affiliations, you have one church that runs throughout there, and it's God's people. So again, thanks for having me again, and I'll just get right to it. A certain aspiring nun once saying, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. If you like your oldies, I love that. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you listen to me sing Do Re Mi a la Maria Von Trapp, because that is indeed a line from The Sound of Music, which is one of my favorite movies. It was before my time, believe it or not. Yeah, my kids tell me I'm really, really old, but man, I don't feel like I'm that old yet. But a la Maria Von Trapp, I will say, let's start with the text itself, a very good place to start. So I know we just read it responsively, but I want to read through kind of the whole psalm one more time, because we're really going to be camping out here this morning in Psalm 16. We're not going to be doing a bunch of jumping around. So, you know, if you have your Bibles with you, feel free to open it to Psalm 16, and you can just kind of lay it open, because we're kind of, like I said, we're going to be in there through the whole sermon. And so, so I want to go back through it one more time, and then after that, I'm just going to start trying to preach the daylight side of the psalm. So, in Psalm 16, David writes, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word, for giving us your word, Lord, so that we may know you, for revealing yourself to us, God, and for being a God who wants to be with us. We admit, Lord, that we fall short so oftentimes. Even after we follow you, God, we struggle sometimes in keeping one foot in front of the other and staying on the path, God, and following you. So we ask, God, for your forgiveness. We ask, God, for your continued mercy and for your continued grace, God. And ask, God, that you would extend your hand to us, Lord, and help us to reach out and to hold on to you, God, as you lead us. And help us to follow you, Lord, and to live holy lives as you yourself are holy. So again, God, I ask that you would minister to the hearts of each person here. I ask that you would help speak your truth through me this morning, Lord. And we ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we really kind of get into it, I wanted to point out a couple of things about the psalm that might help us to really understand it as well as possible. Now, one thing I didn't notice at first, but upon reading the psalm more and meditating on it more, one of the things that I noticed is if we look at how the psalm begins, who is David speaking to at the beginning? He's addressing the Lord directly, speaking to him in the second person. He says, "Preserve me, O God, in you I take refuge. You are my God. I have no good apart from you." And then if you look down further toward the end, too, in verse 10, you'll see again, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David's addressing God directly, both at the beginning of Psalm and at the end. But then if you look closer, you'll note that in the middle part of the psalm, he's not doing that. David, he switches from the beginning, speaking directly to God. And then in the middle, he begins to speak about God in the middle, referring to him in the third person. He says, "The Lord is my chosen portion of my cup. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I have set the Lord always before me." And then he switches back to speaking to God directly at the end. So, you know, for me, when I notice something like this in the structure of the text, and I think it helps us too, a lot of times it helps to be like, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting, if nothing else, right? And I wonder if it might mean something. Because a lot of times it does. So we should probably be looking at the psalm right now and thinking, Why did David write it like that? There may very well be something in the meaning of the whole psalm that is illumined by the way David has bracketed it, so to speak, right? The way we read that middle part, probably, or maybe at least, it should be informed by how David has bracketed a psalm speaking to God, but then about him in the middle. Because that's what he does, right? He only speaks about God in that middle part, right? See, I'm kind of teasing a little bit. I mean, look a little closer. Is that what he does exactly? If you look there, it's not up there on the screen now, and I don't expect anyone to be scrolling it. But if you look kind of right there in the middle, you see, in the last half of verse 5, pretty much smack dab in the middle of the psalm, he says, "You hold my lot." Aha, right? So what I said at first isn't really exactly what David did. It's true that he switched from speaking to God to speaking about him and then back to him at the end. That's true. But out of nowhere, he drops this one more direct address to God right in the center of the psalm. Our antenna should probably go up again, I'm thinking. My spidey sense is tingling, if you like comic books. I love comic books growing up, by the way. I'm kind of a nerd. Maybe we should take notice, though, of this lone statement that stands out in the center of the psalm. What does David say here again? "You hold my lot." "Tú sostenas mi suerte." Am I doing all right there? Okay, thank you. "You hold my lot." I bet that's important. But what does it even mean exactly? "You hold my lot." What is a lot? Does he mean like a lot of something? Is he talking about like an empty piece of land? A vacant lot? A parking lot? Abraham's nephew, Lot, right? Wrong. Of course, it's none of those things. "You hold my lot." If we really want to get technical, the Hebrew word David uses here is goral. And it's the same word that we're talking about when we're talking about casting lots, which is something we actually see in the Bible and other places. It's when people needed to make some kind of decision or determination. They would take a bunch of little pebbles or little broken pieces of sticks, and they would draw them blindly to see who ended up with the odd-colored pebble or with the short stick. So, it's a game of chance, right? It's just luck. Wrong. At least, the psalm would indicate that it's not chance. It's not luck. And other places you see in the Bible would indicate the same. God holds my lot. My lot is not chances. It's God's. And I mentioned there are other places in the Bible. Can we think of some of those other places in Scripture where we've seen the casting of lots? And God's Word kind of reveals to us that the outcome wasn't just chance. Y'all remember Jonah, right? After he's tried to hightail it to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh the way that God told him, and Jonah's on that ship and the tempest hits and the waves are crashing against the boat and they're about to tear it apart and the mariners are panicking. They say what? They say, "Let's cast lots to see who's the reason for all this." And the lot fell on Jonah. Do we honestly think it is by chance that the lot fell on the right man? Or in Acts, after Jesus has ascended, and the 11 remaining disciples, they decide to cast lots to decide on Judas's replacement. And when they're doing that, Peter reminds them that all this was so that the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament could be fulfilled. In other words, it was all part of God's plan. It was not chance. As David says in Psalm 16, "God holds my lot." And God's not leaving our lot to chance. Perhaps even more intriguing to me here, the word lot that we're talking about here, it can refer to the pebble or the thing itself that is cast to make determinations, but it can also refer to that which is being determined by the casting of lots, right? Kind of like destiny. Or perhaps more accurate in this context, our lot in life, so to speak. So what David is saying in this statement that he's highlighted in the middle of the psalm is that it's not chance, but God who holds our lot in life. I was reminded of this. It's the way God works is funny, and we know it's not coincidence. But the song that Pastor Nelson picked out that we heard sung this morning, it was preaching this already to us. But God holds our lot in life. I think we can shorten that even further, I think, and remain entirely accurate by simply saying, God holds my life. And I think that another look at the rest of the psalm that we're in, its beginning, its middle, and its end, reveals to us that this is indeed the center of the psalm. It's the psalm's center of gravity, its heart, that God holds our lives. I'm going to try it again here. This one was the one I had more trouble with. Dios sostiene nuestras vidas. Amen. We already sang about this ourselves this morning, right? I said we heard it in the song. We sang about it all together too, right? Because I know He holds the future. Amen. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. And if this truth that God holds our lives is the center of the psalm, then we might press a little further in asking, well, what does that mean then? What are the implications of that? What does God holding our lives look like? Perhaps, unsurprisingly, in the rest of the psalm, revolving around the center, David has much to say about what it looks like for God to hold our lives. We could go on and on about what all David has to say just in this psalm alone, but for our purposes this morning, because I know we got lunch waiting, and if I go too long, I know you'll run me out of here. But for our purpose this morning, I want to point out and briefly discuss three things that David harps on. You see what I did there? That David harps on? That's a deep track. Three things that David harps on to help show us what it means for God to hold our lives. And like any good pastor, I even identified them in three P's to give us a little alliteration just to help remember them. So, presence, protection, provision. And I was quite pleased, Pastor Nelson, to learn that this alliteration, it holds up, I think, in Espanol. You can help me out there. But what I got was presencia, protección, and prestación. Presence, protection, provision. We can even push this alliteration a little further, in the English at least, because David is talking about a God who is always present, who provides assured protection, and who bestows abundant provision. First, we see that the God who holds our lives is always present. Throughout the psalm, we see this. Indeed, it is implicit in our lives being held by God at all. To hold something, you are present with that thing, not distant. God is present in our lives, holding us. And looking at the rest of the psalm, as I said, David talks about being in God. He talks about not being apart from God, about God being always before him, about God being at his right hand and him being at God's right hand. He talks about dwelling with God, about not being abandoned by God. And he explicitly mentions God's presence. The presence of God. Him with us and us with him permeates this entire psalm. And his presence is forevermore. We see, too, that David, right, he's choosing God, and God is choosing David. It's a beautiful picture of God and his child choosing to be with each other. And it prompts David to sing God's praises, because we also see that God holding our lives by being ever-present with us precipitates further realizations about what it means for him to hold us. Namely, God's assured protection and his abundant provision as he holds us. Which brings us to our second P. Assured protection. This was actually the very first thing that jumped out to me when I first read the psalm, right from the beginning, right? David's pleading, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines refuge as a shelter or protection from danger or distress, or as something to which one has recourse in difficulty. Praise God that He is our refuge. And as was the case with God's presence, His protection is also implicit in God, that central statement, right? You hold my lot. You secure my life. You make my life safe. Amen. And the references to God's protection, they go on from there. David continues proclaiming that he shall not be shaken, that he dwells secure, and that God will not abandon him to Sheol or let him see corruption. Rather than death, God makes known the path of life. God's protection never fails. It is assured.
Amen.
And in addition to that assured protection, David also praises God's abundant provision. Our third P. Again, David hits on this from the very beginning, right? In the opening verses when he's speaking directly to God. And he says, "I have no good apart from you." Wow, really? No good apart from God? Yes, that's what David is saying and what God's telling us in His Word. He is the source of all that is good. And when we have a real presence and relationship with that source, His good blessings abound. Once again, references to God's abundant provisions this time, they're strung throughout David's psalm. He speaks of having delight, of avoiding sorrows. He speaks of the Lord as his portion and his cup, of pleasant places and of a beautiful inheritance. He speaks of a God who gives him counsel and who instructs, giving him wisdom and knowledge. And David can't help but to rejoice and sing God's praises, proclaiming, "My heart is glad and my whole being rejoices." And how amazing are the threefold blessings that David chooses to end the psalm with. God makes known the path of life. In His presence is fullness of joy, and in His right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is true blessing.
Amen.
This is abundant provision.
Amen.
And this comes in the presence of God and His protection. And this is all what it means for God to hold our lives.
Amen.
So if God has revealed to us that He holds our lives, and that this means He is always present, giving us assured protection and abundant provision, we, like David, must choose God as our portion and our cup. And when we experience His presence, protection, and provision, it ought to compel us, like David, to rejoice in and praise God. And if you haven't chosen God as your portion in your cup, I urge you, believe in His Word and give your life over to Him to hold. Because something is going to hold your life.
Amen.
Whether it be yourself or some false idol, money, status, sex, someone or something is going to take hold of your life.
Man.
Who better to give your life to hold than the one who gave His life for you? Who better to give your life to hold than the one who gave His life for you?
Man.
There is none better. The one who desires to be present with you, who will protect you without fail, and who will provide for you beyond measure. Anyone or anything else you allow to take hold of your life will ultimately fall short of God's protection and provision. Rather than lifting you up, as only God can and will do, it will pull you down to corruption ruin, and to death. Jesus is the only choice who makes known the path of life, and in whom is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. How could you not want to walk with him? Now, if you've made that choice for Jesus, either this morning or if you've made it before in the past, whether it be years, weeks, years, decades, generations ago since you've decided to follow Jesus, but if you've made that decision and you've made Jesus your portion and your cup, I still urge you further, like David, sing praises with your lips and in your hearts to him who holds your life. To his assured protection and abundant provision that you have experienced in your own life. I challenge you, think about it as I conclude and as we sing more praises to him afterward. Think about the words as we sing them. That his grace has brought me safe thus far. That he will lead us home. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our refuge. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have no good apart from him. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ, for he will not fail us.
Amen.
Praise God who gives us life, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. All praise to him who holds our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we lift all praise to you, God. And we thank you that you are a God who is present and a God who holds us. You are not a distant God. You did not create like a watchmaker and just sit back and watch things run. You're a God who is intimately involved with your creation and who desires more than anything to reconcile us, his crowning achievement in creation, the one he created in his image. He desires nothing more than to redeem us and to reconcile us to that image, God, to make us holy as he is holy. So we ask, God, that you would do that to us, God. Cleanse us, hold us, God, and help us to hold on tightly to you. We love you, God, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'll please stand and join us as we sing Amazing Grace,
Wait.
Page 378.
You may be seated. Just before we sing our closing hymn and do the benediction, I'm going to ask the Pastor Nelson and Pastor Matthew to come up to have any remarks.
Make it short. We're all waiting for the lunch, I know. It's been a pleasure and a blessing for me and my family to be part of this church since 2004. When was it? 14? Actually 2019. Right. 5 years now. Yes. Yeah, since 2019. 5 years. Before that, I was part of a church in we were serving a church in Dunwoody, North Coast United Methodist Church. This is my 11th year of service, and I've never been more blessed since I started here. I came here by accident because of the situation of this church, and I was called by the district superintendent at the time. I was about to retire, and they said, we need you at this church. When I came here, many of you know how the situation was, and God worked all of that through this church, and we are in a situation where we are now because of God's grace and God's grace only. It is not because of me, it is because of God's grace, and when I think about this church, somebody somewhere along the line, 100 some years ago, prayed for this land and gave this land and dedicated this land to the work of God. And that's the burden I got when I took this church, that this has to continue for the ministry of God and not for somebody else to become a strip mall or another temple or a mosque, as we have seen many churches closed. Many became strip malls, many became temples and mosques. And that's the burden I had when I went to any church. And I would do my best to serve the community where I am, to be the witness of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to see this place continue the ministry here, faithfully, with all the opportunities that God gives us, small and big. And God has a purpose for it. And along the line, when we went through some difficult times and when we were struggling with finance and other situations here because of the problems that we had to go through, I was about to give up. Then one day, as you all know, Pastor Nelson and family walked in right from the blue on the street and said, "We are looking for a place to worship. And can we join together here and work together in this community?" And I thought, this is the best opportunity. God is leading us. Because otherwise, I don't know where would we, our church would be. Because there were decisions they were making made on many sites about small churches being closed. And I didn't know if this was going to happen like that, but since they came on, and we are so much blessed by their ministry here, that many times they do the work that we are supposed to do, which we cannot do because of our situation. Our crowd is, most of us are mostly seniors. We can do what they do. And Pastor Nelson and Carmen and his wife, they go to this community at least a couple of times every month. In the beginning, they used to do every week, going and knocking at the door. Not only Hispanics, but also the English people. Regardless of who lives there, they invite them to this church. What a blessing it is to provide service in Spanish and English, and they invite to both churches. And my vision and my burden that God has given is that we have other communities in this area, especially Indian and some other Asian communities that we need to reach out to. So please pray with me that God will open some more doors, that we can have another language service that can happen here. So there will be a reflection of heaven here in this earth, in this church. And thank you all for working with me, and we'll continue to do the work that God has given us to do. Thank you, Wayne and Carol. They have been so much of a blessing to this church to work with me to make the music so much better. Without the music, we would not have been anywhere. And we thank you. And he has everything straightened out. I don't have to worry about the structure, and he knows everything. Have you ever been to seminary? No? Because he knows everything that needs to be done in a church. And thank you, Pastor. And thank you, Wayne and Pastor Carol, for part of this, being part of this church.
Voy a tratar de ser cortito. Talk a little bit, not much. I want to say thank you, Pastor, for opening the door. When we started in the church, we started at home, me and my wife. And we have like 2-3 kids, and we started at home. And we come in one day on the road, and we see the church. My wife told me, we have to go and needing knock the door and ask him. And I tell him, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't speak much English. And she's coming, she's forced coming outside, and she's finding Lily. And talk with Lily. She's trying talking in English, and she say, "I speak Spanish too." And she bring it inside, and this is why we come in this place. We bless you, Pastor. We open the door, and I'm really happy. Right now, we have you see all these little kids. We bring it in to delivering some and try glass, and some of those little kids. We find that in. Back place, and we bring in a church, and I think God is working on this little kids. We're really happy. Thank you, everybody, for opening the door for this church. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you finished, Lou?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Page 378, Amazing Grace, verses 1, 3, and 5, excuse me, 6. And at the conclusion of the last one, Lou's going to lead us in a chorus of Praise God. So see, so you're not finished, Lou.
I'm finished. Oh, no, I'm not finished.
Benediction. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of